Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So we are actually expecting to hear from President Donald Trump in a few minutes here, set to announce the 2027 NFL Draft will be in Washington, D.C. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and Commanders owner Josh Harris should be alongside Donald Trump during this announcement that should happen in a few minutes. We're going to try to bring it to you live here on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. But until we get to that, it is time for the Richmond Commander. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Which rookie is under the most pressure to perform in training camp? 833-804-0910. The question of the day on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready, Boston?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
So the Washington Commanders made five selections in the 2025 NFL Draft. And it is my opinion that when you discuss the draft picks by Adam Peters in the 2025 NFL Draft, you must mention Laremy Tunsil's name and Deebo Samuel's name. And I'm taking this to war with people. Like, I got into a fight with people on Saturday on my show. I'm not doing this. We didn't just make five selections. We traded that would have been two more selections. This team had seven picks. Then they traded for Tunsil and Deebo. They only had five. So if you're talking about the draft class, you need to include those guys, because the whole plan from Adam Peters was to build a roster that can win now, to compete for a championship this season. There were no project selections here. There was no developmental selection here. It was all about getting guys that can play and start meaningful football in January, because that's the goal for this season, getting back to the postseason. So the first-round pick, offensive tackle out of Oregon, Josh Connerly Jr. Second round, Trey Amos, cornerback out of Ole Miss. Fourth round, Jalen Lane, wide receiver, Virginia Tech. Sixth round, Kane Madrano, the linebacker out of UCLA. Seventh round, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, running back out of Arizona. Which of those five selections is under the most pressure to succeed in training camp? 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. I'll make the case for all five, and then you can... Stubb, you can tell me which you believe this player is under the most pressure. So Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, I mean, anytime you're a seventh-round selection, you're kind of hoping and praying to be practice squad, right, to just make it onto a practice squad that you can stick around for a team and maybe make it onto the 53-man roster by sometime during the season because of injuries. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt didn't play football last year. Played one game for Arizona. So that's not going to help him, but maybe it'll keep him fresh. He's also behind Brian Robinson Jr., Austin Ekeler. You trade for Deebo Samuel. Jeremy McNichols was paid to stick around. Chris Rodriguez was paid to stick around. They believe in the depth here in this running back room. I mean, Chris Rodriguez was the fourth quarter man, and Jeremy McNichols was involved in third downs a lot of this season. especially when Austin Eckler got hurt with the concussion. So Kroski Merritt's under a ton of pressure just to make the roster, to find a way to become an impactful player. Might have to be special teams. Then you go sixth-round linebacker Kane Medrano. He's under pressure because he's a tweener. This is an undersized linebacker that played a little bit of safety as well at UCLA. He's going to be behind a ton of good, talented players here in Washington. A linebacker, it starts with Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu. Jordan McGee was drafted. Dominique Hampton was drafted. Nick Ballore was a special team star. And then Kane Medrano. So I like the kid because he's really athletic, but I think he's going to be under a lot of pressure to even make the roster and not be thrown to the practice squad. Fourth-round pick Jalen Lane, he's going to be under pressure to succeed because he was told by Adam Peters, we love you as a special teamer. We love you as a punt returner. So I think the pressure is Jalen Lane's told you got to be your day one starter at punt return. You got to beat out the veteran Jamison Crowder. If he sticks around, you got to beat out Luke McCaffrey. You got to beat out whoever else we throw there, maybe a Michael Gallup who came out of retirement wants to get on the field. You got to beat them out. And then at wide receiver, you're behind a whole bunch of guys, and you're not going to get the ball thrown to you by Jaden Daniels very often, right? The guys throwing you passes are going to be Marcus Mariota, Josh Johnson, and Sam Hartman. So Lane is under a lot of pressure. Trey Amos, man, you think about the cornerback position in Washington, that's the biggest weakness outside of edge rusher. There's going to be a lot of eyes on Trey Amos, eyeballs on him day one. Josh Connerly, you could argue there's three left tackles on the roster, not one right tackle. Brandon Coleman, left tackle. Laramie Tunsil, left tackle. Josh Connerly played a left tackle. He's under the pressure to succeed as a right tackle, to swing to the other side. And there's the positive talk that, hey, he played all of left tackle, but he was a dominant right-hander. And at left tackle, you got to punch with your left hand. So that part of it should be a easier transition. But the footwork's going to be much more difficult from the left side to the right side. The when you get off the ball is different from the left side to the right side. And he's under pressure because he's got a Super Bowl champion ahead of him in Andrew Wiley. You know, everybody's kind of focusing in here and saying, yeah, the Connerly pick was great because he's probably going to start at right tackle. If he doesn't, I mean, imagine the pressure under him if he's not working out in training camp and they're wondering if we can slide him into guard overall. But I told you guys I agree with Lane Casadante. If you want to chime in, 833-804-0910. Who's under the most pressure to perform in training camp? It is the second-round pick out of Ole Miss, Trey Amos. And it's because of the failures of the Ron Rivera selections. It's because of the failures in the secondary going back to before Ron Rivera, even the Jay Gruden era. This team has not had a great cornerback maybe since Sean Springs, right? Josh Norman was over the hill when he came here to Washington. This team has really struggled to have a star cornerback. And you could even maybe go back to when they traded Champ Bailey for Clinton Portis. Now, we've had some good players since then we kind of fell in love with, like the Fred Schmutz of the world, but they were never, like, lockdown number one corners that are going to make it to Pro Bowls throughout their career. We have a Pro Bowl corner on the roster, Marshawn Lattimore. He hasn't been playing at that Pro Bowl level. And so I just think Amos is going to be under the most pressure because there's going to be a magnifying glass on him because of the recent failure of Emmanuel Forbes, because of the recent success of Mikey Sanderstill. Because they want to put Sanderstill back inside, they have to trust Amos on the outside as a press corner. This kid is going to be under a ton of pressure in training camp. And, oh, yeah, they're going up against Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, Jalen Lane, Luke McCaffrey, Noah Brown. I mean, there's some wide receiver competition here that are going to feel like, man, if we can play well in training camp, we can move ourselves up that depth chart. They're going to be trying to go deep and you know, run some awesome routes and mess up Trey Amos' footwork and get past him. So I think he's going to be under a lot of pressure. I'm not saying he can't succeed. I mean, pressure turns into diamonds a lot of times. But he is under the most pressure in my mind. You know, Connerly, yes, it's going to be a lot of pressure to move from left tackle to right tackle, but you got time there. I think if Andrew Wiley's your week 1-4 starter and then Connerly comes in and overtakes in week 5, that's fine. The goal is for Connerly, Amos, and Lane, all three, to play meaningful snaps in January. I just think in terms of Amos, he's going to be under the most pressure because if it doesn't work with Amos in training camp or in the first preseason game, then you have a real decision to make about Sanderstill. Do you just keep Sanderstill on the outside and have Amos be depth behind Noah Igbinoghu and Marshawn Lattimore? If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Stubb, who is under the most pressure to perform in training camp of the rookies that were selected by the Commanders?
I think it's got to be Amos. I think I see the point for Amos, but I'm always going to say if you were a first-round pick, you're under the most pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing Connerly Jr. has going for him,
the only thing that he has going for him that shouldn't be pressure is the fact that you just traded for Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah.
And left tackle is the harder position. Right?
Yeah,
if we had not traded for Tunsil and it was Connerly, we need you to start a left tackle, then I would say he's under the most pressure.
It's a better position group across the board, and I see that. I am just always going to rank them by pick of who's under the most pressure. If we used our first-round pick on you, you have to be first-round talent.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, Manuel Forbes was under the spotlight.
Yeah.
He was under the spotlight every year after Washington drafted him, and it just didn't work out, and it made the front office look terrible for selecting him. And so I think that there's going to be a lot of pressure on Amos considering – like, if he wasn't a cornerback – I would agree with you. It's going to be the first-round pick always. Because we've had so much issues with the cornerback position, I think it's Amos.
I think he has a harder task ahead of him, certainly.
Yeah.
Like, we're asking more of him. But, like, we're putting Connerly in and saying, you need to go out there and you need to block Abdul Carter. You need to block Micah Parsons, potentially. And you need to be able to do that on your own sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly, it's going to be difficult for him. But the good thing is, at least for him, is you've got Tunsil on the left side, Coleman's in there, and then Coleman will be helped by Tunsil, and maybe Connerly starts at guard and eventually pushes out to tackle if he cannot, you know, accomplish it right away. It's going to be difficult for him, but he also has a veteran in Andrew Wiley to help him out and hopefully make it a little bit easier. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, we just heard from President Trump, joined by Roger Goodell, Muriel Bowser, and the owner of the Washington Commanders, Josh Harris, on the big announcement. The 2027 NFL Draft will be in Washington, D.C. The National Mall can hold up to 1 million people. I cannot wait. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hot Seat, it is Hokie Steve, and you are a Ravens fan.
I am a big Ravens fan, yes,
but
sir.
Are you excited about the NFL draft coming to Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, actually I am. I mean, I know it's in Pittsburgh next year, but yeah, I would consider going up there for this. I mean, definitely for the Thursday night, for sure.
Right.
And, you know, it's a great thing, and certainly they're moving it around. You know, it's been all, you know, always used to be in New York, always used to be down in Times Square, but yeah, moving it around. So let's bring it close so that the RVA crowd can check it out.
Yeah, I thought Detroit did an awesome job. We're hearing about how good Green Bay did with their attendance. So
Nashville had a heck of a drive when they hosted.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think it was Nashville, then Detroit, then Green Bay. It'll be Pittsburgh. And then all of a sudden, Washington, D.C. And then we talked about the post-draft Super Bowl odds. So before we get into that, what grade did you give the Baltimore Ravens for their draft class?
I love the draft personally. I loved Malachi Starks at, you know, with their first pick. I loved getting Mike Green, you know, second overall. And even our boy Aeneas Peebles from the Hokies, I like that. I gave him like an A-. You know, I think they addressed the need. They improved the pass rush with Starks and with Green. Actually adding Peebles to the D-line because Madubuike is a free agent after this year, that was a huge get. So I thought both teams, the Ravens had 11 picks, Commanders had 5 picks,
yep,
right?
Yep.
I thought they both did well. I gave them both an A-.
That's kind of crazy, 11-5 in terms of picks. But Stubb and I have been trying to wrap our heads around the latest NFL on Fox Super Bowl odds, having Buffalo and Baltimore's odds slightly higher than the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, at this point right now, you know, obviously, who knows, right? I like the fact. I think those are the three teams. There's no doubt about it. Those are, you know, you can probably put all those three teams and take the Ravens 2, the Bills 3, the Chiefs 4, and then, you know, a week later flip them. I mean, that's just the way it's going to go. And obviously, injuries are going to come into play. We'll see. You know, again, what the Ravens did with the draft is, I didn't realize this. They gave up almost 250 yards passing on per game last year. All right, that was their third worst in the history of the franchise.
Yeah,
obviously addressing that need. So
it didn't feel like the offense was the issue for most of the season.
It never was. King Henry did his job. It never was, and they also led the league in giving up fourth quarter touchdowns. They led the league.
Yeah. So
defensively, Zach Orr's first year as a new defensive coordinator. However, you know, again, the Ravens, the games that they lost, a lot of those games they had the lead, you know, well into the third quarter.
Absolutely. So let's start with this. Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City. Then there's a drop-off, and the Super Bowl odds have NFC teams, Detroit, Washington, San Francisco, Green Bay. I'm okay with that. What is the next AFC team that is close to being a contender? I do agree with the odds saying Cincinnati and Joe Burrow, but I also think sneaky – it could be Harbaugh and the Chargers as well.
Yeah, it could be. I was going to say definitely you got to put Cincinnati in there with Burrow. I think, Harb's second year, you know, he's getting his thing going out in L.A., so it would not surprise me at all if the Chargers. And let's see how the Broncos do. You know, obviously they had a good second half of last year, so the Broncos could be up there.
Absolutely. NFC side of things, it's Philadelphia, and they're a tier ahead of the entire NFC. I think you agree with me there. Detroit, Washington, San Francisco, and Green Bay are all that second tier, with Detroit slightly ahead. And I agree with that. I mean, they won 15 games for a reason.
They did. But, again, when the big game happened, you know, they were a disaster. So, I think with Jaden Daniels in there, you got to put the Commanders up there. I like the Packers as well. I'm not as big on Detroit. We'll see. Are they a good football team? There's no doubt about it. But I think the up-and-coming Commanders and the Pack and then maybe the Niners in there.
Yeah, the Detroit question is, can they recover from losing OC and DC? And can they get all the guys that were injured last year healthy and on the same page with each other? I feel like in terms of talent level, like, they might be up there with Philadelphia.
You're actually right on their injury. They probably had, of any NFL team last year, they probably had the worst luck across the board with the injuries. Now, if those guys stay healthy this year, again, as we all know, 17-game season, it's a long grind, right? But if they can stay healthy, there's no doubt they'll be up there. The question is, can they, because they had home field last year, right, all the way, and then they lost it. So can they get that back? That's a big deal.
So everybody talks about the 2023 surprise team was Houston Texans. 2024 surprise team, Washington Commanders. I've got a surprise team for this year. I want to hear if you've got someone first, though, because I've got a surprise team that I think could be really, really scary good if things work out.
I got to hear what you got to say.
I'm going with Duval.
With the Jags?
With the Jags and Liam Cohen. Look, I'm not a Travis Hunter fan, all right? But I could be wrong about that. Now, they were very aggressive to make that trade to get up and get him. I thought they had a fantastic draft outside of that as well. You know, the question is Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
But, you know, Liam Cohen certainly has had success the last 2 years as an offensive mind here. Can he turn Liam Cohen into like a Baker Mayfield product of 28 touchdowns, limit the interceptions to 10 or 11, right? That would be a big step forward for the Jags. But I do think, like, I think people are sleeping on the talent level of the Jags just because the coaching has not been good the last few years. I think that, I mean, you saw how bad they were with Urban Meyer, and then all of a sudden Peterson comes in here and they got a little bit of success, and I think what he was preaching, they stopped listening to him, or at least he was the quarterback whisperer for a little bit, and then it didn't work with Trevor Lawrence. But I mean, Brian Thomas Jr. really stepped onto the scene last year as wide receiver one. Could Travis Hunter be there as wide receiver two? They bring in De'Ami Brown. I still like Travis Etienne. Bashaud Tootin gets added there with Tank Bigsby.
Yep.
And then defensively, like, I think they got a lot of talent on the defensive end that just didn't really perform. This is a 4-13 team last year that, like, I think they could take they could double that easily. Like, I'm right now, Jags probably get to 8 wins, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was 9.
They could get to 8 wins or 9 wins, but there's still a significant drop-off from, you know, KC, Baltimore, and the Chiefs and Buffalo. So the question is, would they take that next step? And then, you know, obviously they would more than likely go on the road for the playoffs. So that's a big step for them.
But if you're saying the Texans were the surprise team, then the Commanders were the surprise team, well, both those teams just made the playoffs and won a playoff game.
Right.
Can Jacksonville win one playoff game? Can they? Because I can see them winning that division. I mean, we'll see if Houston has a third-year drop-off or if they take a step forward. It kind of slumped a little bit in C.J. Stroud's sophomore year. But that division is the most wide open, I do think, of the AFC.
And if they win the division, they host one, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I hate that rule. I wish the NFL needs to get rid of that rule. When you can have a team that's 8-8 hosting, and you've got two teams or three teams that are, you know, 14-3 and all this kind of stuff. So I hope they get rid of that. But if they could host, then, you know, you never know.
Do you have a surprise team here as I'm talking through it?
I'm thinking real quick. I'm trying to think of in the NFC side. So.
Like, I think Carolina will be better.
They will,
but not too much better where they're the surprise team.
They won't be. I mean, I like your pick of the Jags.
What do you think of Atlanta?
Not sold on the Falcons either. So I think we're still looking at, you know, the hardcore group in the AFC that we just talked about. Certainly the, you know, the Eagles, the Commanders, the Lions, the Pack, the Niners. That's a lot of teams right there. That's a lot of teams for those that need to take that step up. So I don't know. I'll think about that. I'll get back with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how bad the New York Giants are going to be. Can they be slightly better, right? I mean, because that the NFC East here, it's just so top-heavy this past year with Philadelphia and Washington. Can Dallas get back to being relevant if Dak Prescott is healthy?
Can he stay healthy? That's a big thing right there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Cowboys, when they lost him, I mean, that was it for the year.
Yeah, absolutely. So I still think the roster talent of the Cowboys, if everything goes right, they could win double-digit games. I just don't see everything going right for Dallas and Schottenheimer Jr. in his first year is under a lot of pressure.
Two games against the Eagles, two games against the Commanders, and I haven't even looked at their other conference. That's four tough games right there.
Yep, absolutely. In terms of the AFC North, you know, Baltimore is top tier. I'm wondering if Cincinnati makes that step forward to second, Pittsburgh third, and then Cleveland fourth. I don't know what's going to happen in Cleveland.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sitting there watching, you know, thinking the Steelers might take Shedeur Sanders, right, and then they don't take him, and they don't get taken. He still ends up in the NFC North. So
yeah.
we still got to deal with it. But you know, again, I like what they're, you know, again, I'm a Ravens fan, obviously, but I like what they did addressing the defensive side of the football with the pass rush and with the secondary. I love the fact that Kyle Hamilton can now sit back there and coach up Malachi Starks. Again, I'm old school, man. Defense wins championships, and the Ravens have always seemed like they've scored enough, and even in the Buffalo game, but it was the defense that, you know, and Lamar, you know, that took them out of that game.
Hokie Steve, you can answer our question from last week. Should Steelers Nation want Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins? Which gives them the best opportunity? I said Rodgers. Stump said Kirk. We had a caller who said Kirk.
I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers, because I think this is a one and done thing with either one of them, right?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, if you're going to take it, if you're going to take a 17 game hit on one of these two, I would take it on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean,
just from the simple fact of what he's done, where he's been, and the expectations.
Yeah.
What he thinks he's, you know, obviously he's waiting around. Who knows what he's going to do? Is he hanging out on McAfee's show again? I don't know where he is, but obviously he's taking his sweet time. But if I'm the, you know, the Rooney family and those guys, I'm probably looking at Aaron Rodgers on the deal.
Joined by Hokie Steve, I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. We'll talk some Major League Baseball, Major League Chew, coming up next on AWOD Radio. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open throughout the show, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. If you missed any of the show today, you can rewind on the Odyssey app to hear the big announcement. Be there April 2027. The NFL Draft is officially coming to Washington, D.C., on the National Mall, with President Donald Trump making the announcement alongside Muriel Bowser, Roger Goodell, and owner Josh Harris today in the Oval Office. Joining me once again is Hokie Steve as we bounce around Major League Baseball with Major League Chew.
Play ball.
It's time for Major League Chew.
Chew on that for a second.
What's the biggest story in the big leagues?
It is
Can you handle the heat?
There's no crying in baseball!
This puppy is headed for orbit!
Major League Chew on AWOD Radio.
Big bubbles, no trouble.
So, Steve, the San Francisco Giants are 22-13 on the season. I bring that up because we were talking during the break about the Flying Squirrels, and the Giants' number one prospect, Bryce Eldridge, the pride of Vienna, Virginia, multiple state champion at James Madison, playing for the Squirrels right now for the San Francisco Giants Double A, and they had a really good weekend. I believe they've won three of the last four. So the Squirrels are heating up a little bit at the diamond, but I really think, like, I interviewed Bryce Eldridge. I think he is going to be just an unbelievable star in the majors. The kid is so humble, but yet he believes, and he said this, he could still pitch. I mean, he was called the Shohei Ohtani of Virginia baseball,
right,
just a few years ago. Now he understands the Giants have told him, we want to get you to the majors as soon as possible, and that is with your hits, right? But I think that could be his future for sure. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the NL West is pretty tough right now. The Dodgers are out in front 23-11, but the Padres are half a game back, and the Giants are only a game and a half back. So right now the West and the East is pretty good too, obviously with the Mets and the Phils. But the NL West looks pretty tough, and the Giants will need every bit of maybe they can get him called up maybe in for the second half of the year. We'll see how it goes.
Certainly would be really cool. We love seeing him play while he's in here in Richmond, but I don't know how long that will be. We told you we would let you vent your frustrations with the 13-20 Baltimore Orioles, who have given up the most runs of any team in the American League.
We're 20% through the season, right? And the Orioles didn't have a horrible week last week. The only reason they're still 5.5 back, which is not that bad, is because the Yankees and the Red Sox were a combined 9-11 last week. So, you know, certainly the AL East is a tough division as always, but it's not just the pitching, it's the hitting too. I mean, the Orioles are 20th in the Major League MLB in runs, 25th in hits, and batting average is their 26th, on base percentage 25th. So right now, Rutschman's only hitting like 216, Henderson's hitting 260, Mountcastle's 202. So everybody that they expected to have big years for the Birds, nobody's stepping up. And the crazy thing, as I told you off the air, they're 2-9 versus lefties. They're 11-10 versus righties, but they're 2-9 versus lefties. So whenever they see a left-hander out there, I don't know what they're going to do.
I mean, it's still early in the season, but it's close to panic time, right, for the Orioles.
Well, they go on the road this week. They go to Minnesota for three, and then they go out to California for three, which is neither one of those teams are tearing the cover off the ball in the American League. So there's a chance there that they can, you know, again, but you can't go 4-6 or you can't go, you know, 5-5 every week. You know, you're 5.5 back. If the Yankees have a good week or the Red Sox have a good week, you might be 8 or 9 games back in within 10 days. So
yeah.
then it gets really interesting because, you know, then by the All-Star break, if you're 12 or 13 games out, you're in trouble. And right now, like I said, with the pitching, Zach Eflin hopefully is back at the end of this week. He had a rehab assignment down in Aberdeen yesterday, pitched pretty well. But Kyle Gibson, who they finally got him, they re-signed him, played at St. Louis last year. He's pitched two games. He's given up 12 earned runs in 7 innings. They took Charlie Morton out of the rotation because he couldn't get anybody out. So right now it's Sagano, who's the best pitcher on the staff, and everybody else has got an ERA above 5.5.
Yeah. And I was telling you, I'm a Nationals fan, but I grew up watching Cal Ripken and going to Camden Yards, so I have a soft spot in my heart for the O's. And it feels like their issues are off-season issues, that they should have spent more money.
Well, exactly. You know, when you lose Corbin Burns, and it actually, the Orioles made a decent offer, but it was a years thing. I think he got more years to go out to Arizona. That being said, you still let Santander go, so that stings, yeah. Right? Because you look at it, you know, when Rutschman and Henderson and these guys are hitting in the low 200s, and then you lose a guy like Santander. So, again, Kowser comes back, too. He's on the DL. He comes back in a couple weeks, hopefully. But, again, it still gets back to pitching, right? And so hopefully with Zach Eflin coming back, and then I think the Rodriguez Kyle Bradish thing is going to be a little bit further down the line, but right now the Orioles are kind of in that situation where they've got to get on a run here, and they've got at Minnesota, at LA, that's a chance for them to have a 5-1 week or something like that.
Detroit's legit in the NL Central. Cleveland right behind them. They have built out that roster very well.
The Nats are actually hosting the Guardians starting tonight, right?
Yep, absolutely. That will be a 3-game series. The Nats won 2 straight, and it's been great to see the young Nats at the plate. They've been very, very good. And it's not just James Wood anymore, right? It's others stepping up. Alex Call has been very good for the Nats. So
C.J. Abrams.
Yep, C.J. Abrams recently. It's fun to watch the Nats again. And the Braves have been playing better, too. They've moved out of the cellar of the NL.
They had a horrible start. You know, they were probably one of the worst teams in MLB for their start, but they've gotten on a roll, and, you know, they've gotten there. Now, they're still, what, 7 back? I think they are, something like that. But, you know, they've obviously played a little bit better. Jake Irvin pitches tonight, I believe, for the Nats. So I know he had not a great outing against the Phils, but he's pitching very well for the Nats. So it should be an interesting night tonight up at Nats Park.
Yeah, I love to look at the list of the home run leaders in baseball every few days. It is Cal Raleigh right now for Seattle with 12. Aaron Judge and Kyle Schwarber tied with 11.
Judge is hitting .423, I think it is. Right now. I mean, you know, again, every time he comes up at Camden Yards, I'm just expecting him to hit it in the birdbath because, I mean, it's just – He's crushing the ball, and he's an Oriole killer.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, the Birds took 2 out of 3 from him last week, but Judge did his thing.
Yep. James Wood tied for 6 with his 9 bombs. He's just batting .273 right now for the Nats, though, so you want him to, you know, hit for a better average. But he's started to go yard often, and it feels like he's been going yard in the first inning, too. Right, that's been a big part of his game this season. So you mentioned it, Nats today against the Cleveland Guardians. What about the O's?
The O's are off today. Tomorrow they play at Minnesota, and they'll be 3 out in the Twin Cities Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then they go out to the left coast and they play the Angels, who've got the worst record in the American League. So again, they've got a shot. The Twins are 15-20. The Angels are 13-20, just like the Birds. So before they come back in a couple weeks, and then they'll host the Nationals in a couple weeks.
Hokie Steve, really appreciate you stopping by. Wanted to close out with Hokie news. I was crushed to see Georgia Amore suffer that injury.
How did that happen?
Are you kidding me?
As soon as Liz Kittley gets back on the court with the Aces, right, Georgia Amore tears her ACL. And obviously she's with the Mystics, so we kind of, you know, local.
I mean, I was excited to go see her.
Oh, I know. I know. I was too. And I was kind of looking at when the Vegas Aces come to D.C. But, yeah, tough break for her and tough break for the Mystics. So hopefully she'll get do some quick rehab and get back out there for next year. But crazy how as soon as Kittley gets healthy, you know, and I know they're, you know, obviously Georgia transferred and went to Georgia and all. I mean, it went to Kentucky and all that.
Yeah.
But still follow her. She's a great player. She was a great ambassador for Virginia Tech women's basketball when she was there. So a tough break for the Aussie.
You know, I was watching the Kentucky Derby at River City Roll, but they also had Virginia Tech softball on TV.
Yes, they did.
Got a big win over Florida State.
That was a huge
Hammer and Hokies.
That was a huge win because they had actually lost the first game, got run ruled in the first game, unfortunately, and then they got no hit on Saturday by FSU. Yesterday they got behind. FSU is, I believe, the number one RPI softball team in the country. They're the number three team overall, but that was a great win. That was the Hokies' 40th win of the season. The ACC tournament starts this week up in Boston. The Hokies are the third seed there. They'll be in the tournament. I think they've got to make a pretty strong run in the ACC tournament to hopefully have a shot to host a regional, which would start next week.
Absolutely. And I said I would mention this before I let you go. What do you think about what the Commanders are getting at wide receiver Jaylen Lane? I said he is your punt returner day one.
I was going to tell you, slot receiver, but can also play outside right, and he can return punts and kicks. So you've got a versatile guy in Jaylen Lane, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, too, Caps, Hurricanes, big series.
Yeah.
Big series. Two best teams in the Metropolitan. And, you know, the Caps and the Hurricanes, they haven't met in the playoffs since 2019. So,
we're trying to get revenge on that.
Oh, I know.
Because that was right after we won the Cup.
Yep. And so, Sebastian Aho, huge guy for the Hurricanes. Obviously, Ovi, looking forward to that series, which starts
tomorrow night. Absolutely. It's going to be a ton of fun. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Anytime.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now, at 105.1 FM, phone lines are open. 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. What'd you think of the big announcement? 2027 NFL Draft to be held on the Nash Mall in Washington, D.C. Joining us right now from Washington, D.C. on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, it's our buddy Denton Day. What's going on, Denton?
AWOD, what's going on, man? I'm pumped. It's a great day for the city. Really a great past week for our team in this city.
Yeah, that was a first for me today, playing the voice of Donald Trump here on Sports Radio 910 The Fan. But it was a sports political crossover with Muriel Bowser, Roger Goodell, and Josh Harris there. And I think they're going to break the record. I'm not the first to say that Michael Phillips said that first, but he thinks they're going to break the record for attendance, and I agree.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat there. I don't know what that record is, but I would say it would be a little bit of a disappointment if they get anything less than 750,000 people there. I mean, this is such a big event. So many people travel from outside of the region to go and attend this event, regardless of where it is. But then you have the added fact of this already being a tourist hub, so maybe you'll get some like casual wanderers in there, and then people that maybe wouldn't go to a draft wanting to come see the monuments that they might not get to see on a regular basis. So I think there'll be at least, this isn't an official prediction or anything, but like 750,000 people seems like a good amount.
Yeah, I have heard that it was over 600,000 in Green Bay, but there might have gone over 700 as well with the full details being released. I need to check on that. But, yeah, I mean, I'm excited for this. I think that's awesome. I don't think it ever happens if it wasn't for the success of Jaden Daniels as a rookie, Josh Harris, and the moves he's made as ownership group. I think the momentum with RFK and that announcement last week helped as well. Do you have any other thoughts, Denton, about this announcement today from Trump that the 2027 NFL draft will be coming to D.C.?
I mean, I think it's great for the league. I think it's great for the team. I think it's the NFL kind of welcoming Washington back into officially good graces, because you're 100% right. This never happened with Dan Snyder, because the relationship was so sour with Dan Snyder and literally everybody. So at the very least, the relationship with Josh Harris and the people of D.C. and the political figures of D.C. is very, very good. And now clearly the relationship between him and Roger Goodell is very, very good. It does feel like the NFL is now back in the corner of Washington, where it had always felt like for most of our lifetime that it was Dan Snyder versus everybody. And we didn't subscribe to that, but that's just kind of what it ended up being. So I think it's a really good sign moving forward that the NFL likes our team again.
Yeah, I want to make this a Josh Harris thing, but the truth is it's not. It's an indictment of how awful Dan Snyder was and how many people hated him, loathed him, didn't want anything to do with him, didn't even want to be in the same room with him, right? So as much as I want this to be Josh Harris is the man, he's the best owner, it's more, thank God we got rid of the devil that was Dan Snyder. Now we can actually have conversations about doing things in Washington once again. The other question of the day, Denton, has been which draft pick of the Washington Commanders will be under the most pressure? And I'm going to tell you my answer. I'm going to lead the witness for you. I don't even think it's close. I think it's Trey Amos, and that's because of first round, 16 overall, Emmanuel Forbes, and how awful that first-round pick in 2023 turned out, that I think all eyes are going to be on Trey Amos, given the fact that everybody's saying, oh, he's not just a outside corner, he's an outside press corner. I mean, that's reminding me of what Marshon Lattimore was when he was a Pro Bowler, and it should make life easier for Mikey Sainristil. But if it doesn't work for Amos, then you got a real big question about Sainristil inside or outside. So I do think, in terms of the most pressure, it's Trey Amos.
I like your answer, but I'm going to go Connerly just because he is the guy that's going to be protecting the asset in Jaden Daniels. And what I learned from their drafting process, AWOD, is that it feels like they are comfortable with getting rid of Andrew Wiley at some point, whether that be before camp or sometime next year, phasing him out of what the future is. And same with Nick Allegretti, because you know that Cosme is going to occupy one slot. They're expecting that Brandon Coleman is likely going to occupy one of those other guard spots, if not that right tackle spot that we think Connerly is going to play. I think he's under a lot of pressure because he is that first-round pick, and because because we as an organization and we as a fan base are so desperate to have Jaden Daniels become what we think he can and reach these ceilings that restore this fan base and restore this organization to the glory that it once had. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on him because you're going to see some defenses, especially now that the division is loaded with great pass rushers. I think they're going to load his side a little bit more than they will to Laremy Tunsil. So he's going to see some real good action early on.
Yeah, I like that pick because you could argue this team has three left tackles and no right tackles, right? With Coleman playing left tackle, Connerly, and Laremy Tunsil. You know, we talked about this before the draft. The over-under is set at 10.5 for the Commanders, and I would say 10, and I'd be pretty firm about that 10. Post-NFL draft, I'd be willing to put money on Washington over 10.5 wins. I think we can get to 11 with the moves that they've made this offseason, the trades and the draft selections. I think the first three picks, the first round, the second round, and the fourth round, will play meaningful snaps in January. I've talked about, I think, Jalen Lane's punt returner number one for day one, Amos, and they can earn that cornerback two job. And you just talking about Connerly, the pressure to be the team's starting right tackle. Would Denton Day be comfortable? And I know you just got married, you got a new job, you're balling out here. Would you be comfortable putting your own money, hard-earned cash, on Washington over 10.5 wins now?
So right now I'm leaning yes, but as a gambler, a full-blown degenerate, I would encourage everybody to wait until the 14th. Because once you see that schedule, like I have this feeling that they're going to put Washington in a ton of primetime games, right? I feel like you're probably in the same boat. Jaden was so good, they're going to put him in primetime. I'm curious to see how that balances out on the schedule. And because they were second place in the NFC East, what does that look like? We know the opponents, but how is that going to lay out? Like, are you getting back-to-back-to-back weeks of, like, Philly and Kansas City and then maybe some other great team on that schedule, kind of like what you got with like Dallas, Philly, and Pittsburgh in that weird stretch. So I need to see what the schedule is like, but if number five is healthy, I'm taking just about every over that you're going to put in front of me.
So wait until May 14th, the schedule release date. We'll see if they're leaving the country, where they're going on the road, and then you can tell me confidently whether or not you'd put your own money on 11 wins.
And may the 14th be with us.
Denton, really appreciate you taking the time to join us here. You know, I think another NFL discussion for the Commanders is still the site of RFK, and I don't understand the people that are against it that actually live in that area, because I've talked about how I worked in Half Street while the Nats Park was being developed. And not built, but like being developed when that area was blowing up. And now the success of the Nats Park has helped out the wharf. And you've worked in that area as well. I don't understand why people that live or work around RFK would say no. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't understand why you would want. Like, So I get it from a standpoint of, like, if you have young children, you maybe don't want the noise and just a bunch of, like, an influx of people that you don't know into neighborhoods. Like, I understand it from that standpoint. But I feel like if you live there already, don't you want more restaurants? Like, don't you want more accommodations for you? Like, I feel like that benefits a lot of the people that live there. Now, I've never lived in a place that's building a stadium right in my backyard, but I feel like the positive effects of said stadium, if you're smart about it, are really going to impact positively the people that already live there. So I'm excited for what RFK is going to bring. Get a Final Four to DC, get me a WrestleMania to DC, get a bunch of dope concerts so we don't have to go all the way up to Landover if we live either in Virginia or in the city. So I'm excited for what that's going to bring.
Absolutely. And Denton, lastly here, I was a little upset. I was a little ticked off at the first announcement of limited tailgating and only a certain amount of actual parking spots where you could do traditional tailgating. And I'm still a little bit upset about that, but I'm starting to open my mind up to the possibility of this ownership group getting it right, no matter what it looks like in terms of tailgating. I didn't know what tailgating would look like at Nats Park. Now I love to go to the bullpen. Right, so I think they can build something like that, whether it's in a parking garage or inside kind of a structure where they can bring live music and have a band and have a stage and have all these food trucks. Like, I just believe that this ownership group, they feel like fans. They're going to make sure that, hey, tailgating is going to be limited, but we got this tailgating zone. and maybe it's the NBC Sports Zone that Philadelphia has, and Josh Harris understands how that makes money for Philadelphia because he's a Sixers owner. So I think he's going to do right by the fans. It's not going to be traditional tailgating, but it will be something that's fun.
Yeah, I think trusting this ownership group is key. I mean, over the last 14 months, they've gotten a new head coach who's pretty good, a new general manager, a quarterback. They have struck an RFK deal, and now they got the draft. And, oh, by the way, they also made a conference championship. So I think they've done a lot of things right. Are they absolutely perfect in every single aspect? No, but I'm with you. I trust the ownership to understand the common fan well enough to make sure that whatever tailgating looks like in 2030, 2031, that they will have accommodations for it.
Denton, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, Juan, appreciate it, man.
Yep, you're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.